Ventnor City Planning Board Meeting, March 11th, 2026. Ventnor City Planning Board Meeting, March 11th, 2026.
11th, 2026 session of the Ventnor City Planning Board is now in session. Welcome, everyone. This is going to be an exciting night. We're going to do a lot of business, so let's get started. First thing we're going to do is salute the flag. You all stand, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will the board administrator please call the roll?
Mayor Kribel.
Here.
Joanna Zelli.
Here.
Jay Cook.
Here.
Lorraine Salata.
Here.
Dan Smith III.
Here.
Mike Meason.
Here.
Tim Coop.
Here.
Jessica Stilley.
Here.
John Van Dyne.
Here.
Absent are Commissioner Langbrecht, Peter Tocco, Greer Gaskell, and Wendy Bartlett.
We have a statement of compliance that's on here. That is the ordinance, that is the Sunshine Law, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so we're going to go by that. At this time, we'll now go over the minutes of the prior meeting of January 14th. I'm going to have a motion, or first of all, are there any amendments or corrections to the January 14th minutes? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second, please, for adoption of said minutes?
Motion.
I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it, the minutes are hereby adopted. We have today, before us today, four resolutions. They are P3 of 2026, the election of chairperson and vice chairman. P4 of 2026, board engineer, planner, and board solicitor and board secretary. P5 of 2026, the Byright Subdivision Committee. And P6 of 2026, the Nan Russo Corporation of 130 North New Haven Avenue. Resolutions for all of these. Are there any amendments or corrections to said resolutions?
Excuse me, I can't vote on this.
Okay, you're abstaining. We have one abstention, was Lorraine. All those, if there's no corrections or...
Yeah, I wasn't here either, so...
You weren't here, so you can't, you're not voting either.
We could just note for the record, if you weren't here at the prior meeting, then you're an abstention.
You're an abstention, so we have two abstentions. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The resolutions carried, they are approved. Tonight, we have a busy schedule. We have applications of an order, everybody has seen the agenda already, so I'm not going to take the time to go through it. Well, I'll just say that with this, everyone will be heard equally with time to present their cases for hearing in a proper manner, and no one will be shortchanged. It will be fair for everyone. So we'll proceed ahead now. The first case, the first application is that of 5400 Calvert Avenue. Please present.
I have that question.
Do you want to do a preamble? There'll be no preamble, you just go present your case and start, get everybody sworn in first.
John Barnhart, on behalf of the applicant, as our engineering professional friend.
John, when you're ready, just give me your name and business address, please.
John Barnhart, licensed professional engineer, licensed professional planner in New Jersey, office
address, 400 North Dover Avenue.
Okay, please raise your right hand, you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
And I'll just get Roger sworn in, so we have.
Let's get Roger's.
Mr. McCarron, do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Barnhart, could you state your qualifications, please?
Sure, I'm a licensed professional engineer, licensed professional planner, certified municipal engineer in the state of New Jersey. Been practicing for approximately 30 years, and I've been trying to enjoy my career.
Let the record reflect that your credentials are acceptable, and you can appear before me numerous times.
Thank you.
If you could, Mr. Bailey, just give a brief overview of your application first.
Thank you, Mr.
Proceed, and you're out.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name's Chris Bailey, I represent Matt and Danielle Byrne, who are here tonight for an application regarding their property at 54 Calvert Avenue in the Heights, and next to the ball field, across the ball fields. It's block 199, lot 11.01. They live in an older, original Ventnor Heights home back there, which they intend to take down and build a new flood-compliant, zoning-compliant, almost completely, mechanically compliant home on that corner. It's the corner of Calvert and Surrey.
Yes.
Because of the, it's a 30-foot lot by 62 and a half. Because it's a corner lot, you've got two front yards, which is the larger setback, so there is somewhat of a hardship for them to make a compliant home on a 30-foot wide lot. And once you factor in the two front yard setbacks and the side yard, your house goes out to about 14 feet wide. So we're going to ask for a variance for one of those setbacks, and that would be the setback on Surrey. And because of the elevation of the first floor, there's a request for a setback to really for the bottom stair to the first floor on both Surrey and Calvert. John Barnhart prepared the plan, and John, you can testify with respect to just the overview of the property, and the variance is requested, and talk about some justification.
Sure. Okay, as Chris pointed out, the property is on the corner of Calvert Avenue and Surrey Avenue. It has a frontage along Calvert Avenue of 30 feet, and a frontage which acts as a lot depth in this case along Surrey Avenue of 62.5. So the lot is conforming with the parking with overall depth based on the zoning, but it is undersized or considered a narrow existing non-conforming lot with regards to this width. If you look at the survey that provided the application, what you see is that there are larger degree of existing non-conforming with the existing structure. The front yard setback on Surrey Avenue is approximately 3.7 feet currently. The side yard setback opposite Surrey Avenue is, I believe, less than 3 feet at this point, very tight to our neighbor. And the rear yard setback on the existing home is approximately slightly over 8 feet. The building is non-compliant with regards to flood, and this is a project or a property that is certainly in need of reconstruction of a home that is compliant. And making a concerted effort to come more into compliance with both standards, which we believe we are doing in this specific case.
John, the non-conforming setbacks, we're bringing those into compliance, and the one that we need a variance for because of the size of the lot, we're actually making that slightly better.
That is correct. So, and again, Chris already mentioned, if you apply the strict definition of the ordinance for this lot, with it being a narrower lot than the ordinance requires for the zone, and also having two front yards and required to have two front yard setbacks, essentially renders the lot nearly undeveloped. What I mean by that is that if you apply the required 4-foot side yard, which we are, and you apply the required 12-foot front yard on Surrey Avenue, that eliminates 16 feet of overall lot width. So it leaves you with 14 feet in which to construct a house, which is obviously a classic case of a C1 hardship type of variance request. What we have done, though, what our project has done, is propose a building that improves upon the non-conformities that existed for many years. So how have we done that? Well, first of all, we are complying regarding the front yard setback with the deck and the structure on Calvert Avenue. That is really our front yard in this case. We are improving upon the setback on Surrey Avenue by making the setback on Surrey Avenue 4 feet, because that is essentially our side yard, even though it is a front yard by ordinance. It is essentially the side yard of our building, both existing and proposed building, and 4-foot side yard is the required shifting the side yard setback. We are proposing to comply with regards to the rear yard setback of the building and the deck in the rear of the home, which again is an improvement upon the existing condition.
John, real quick, back to Surrey Avenue, if that were a traditional side yard and not a front yard, because the corner lot, it would comply.
If this were not a corner lot, if we were to take this lot, this parcel, and move it one lot over Surrey Avenue.
That setback would comply.
That setback would be proposed there, which would comply.
May I ask a question, please?
Yes, sir.
What is the existing, for the board's purposes, of the side yard on Surrey Avenue?
3.7.
The existing setback at fit along Surrey Avenue is 3.7.
And you're proposing 4 feet?
That is correct.
So 1 feet 3, you're increasing it by 1.3 feet?
We're increasing it by 0.3.
No, 0.3.
No, 3.7.
Oh, 3.7, on those days.
Yes, sir. And then we're also moving upon, the side yard setback is under 3 feet. So, and we are proposing 4 feet. So we are improving the side yard setback opposite Surrey Avenue by over a foot.
Okay.
Good. There are stair approaches, you want to show us how those are?
May I ask another question?
Yes, sir.
Are you improving the front yard setback or the rear yard setback?
We are improving the rear yard setback where it is currently 8.2 feet. And we are proposing the rear yard setback to the main home to be actually 12 feet.
It's compliant.
And then the deck projection of the rear deck is also compliant by projecting 6 feet into the rear yard, which is permitted.
So where we, because the depth of the lot is 6 feet compliant, where we could, we brought the house into compliance.
Are you diminishing the front yard setback?
With regard to the home itself, we are proposing to be 12 feet from the front yard, and the deck will also comply. The only request for relief with regard to the front yard setback is the stair structure. But the home and the deck itself will comply. And we are also requesting a very minor deviation with regard to the stair setback from Surrey Avenue from the rear deck itself. There are two items that we are amending as an accommodation for some of the comments from Mr. McLaren's report. And that is the requirement, as you know, from front property line to garage door is 19 feet. Our plan currently shows 18 feet. We are only complying with that because we are able to without creating any negative impact to the interior of the ground floor area, so we are eliminating that variance request.
And the first floor elevation, since the law changed in January?
Yeah, so we have Mr. McLaren's recommendation regarding finished floor elevation and setting the garage elevation at 5, and setting the finished floor at 14. We are proposing to match the request of Mr. McLaren's report in that part as well. So the finished floor will go up, the garage floor will be set at elevation 5. And Mr. McLaren has identified a need to establish the minimum garage elevation that he had in his report. And you'll see here in some of the other cases, which from our perspective is a great thing because we struggle with these projects after the fact. They get their approvals, and then we start developing grades and recognizing that garage floors need to be a little higher. And folks, because of the way the ordinance is written, folks don't want to lose their height and such. So they utilize the requirements in the ordinance and they measure their height from top of curb, which is how the ordinance is currently written. But when you try to elevate the floor of the garage to get it further out of harm's way, if you start to get into a gray area where, well, if I have that garage floor higher, then I need to have my finished floor elevation, am I getting too high on the top end? So if that's, in a case like this, if that's talked out at a hearing like this, where we're going to establish that garage at 5, and we're going to establish a finished floor at 14, it allows the site to work appropriately when you actually go to try to build it. So we're happy that we have had that conversation with this case, because it makes a lot of sense.
John, back to those stair encroachments, just to finish up on that. The encroachment is approximately one stair width into the setback in those instances, and that's solely a function of the...
Of getting the building out of harm's way.
Getting up to the first floor.
That's correct.
We'll talk about justification of the Land Use Act. Obviously, bringing the property into conformity and correcting deviations from the ordinance is a primary purpose of zoning.
Correct.
And the other positive aspects of this project in terms of compliance, but also flood elevation and mechanically bringing it up to code, that's also been found to be another positive aspect under the Land Use Act.
That is correct. I think that all these variances can be granted, or we go to C1 and the C2 criteria, C1 being the hardship criteria, which in this case we have, I'll call it a unique condition that the lot is not only narrower than is required by the ordinance, but it's also a corner lot requiring two front yard setbacks to be applied. So that's the condition that creates a second narrowness and unique condition here.
The negative criteria in that the variances can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good, thus substantially impairing the intent and purpose of the zone plan and zoning ordinance. You find that those aspects can be addressed?
Yes, in regard to the public good, we think this is only benefit to this neighborhood by demolishing the existing non-conforming building and creating improvements on the non-conformities all the way around, and building a brand new structure that is fully compliant to building code and flood standards. And with regard to the second aspect of negative criteria, there is substantial detriment to the zone plan and zoning ordinance. It's a single-family home and a single-family neighborhood. It is common more in compliance with zoning standards, and it is a community that has no substantial negative impact to the zone plan and zoning.
And the last aspect of positive criteria is that Matt and Danielle are going to be here year-round. We just had a new baby who will be in the school system at some time, so they have a nice year-round family in this house. That's all we have.
Could you clearly state that the home is, the existing home is being rented or it's being demolished?
It's being demolished and put right next to your house. No, it's being demolished. Get it in there. It's going away.
You're demolishing the existing home.
That's right.
Building a new home, so you're replacing an obsolete home.
Yes, I don't think that the existing home could stand it yet.
Okay.
And the existing home's a duplex, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Correct.
So you're replacing a duplex with a single-family home, that's a...
Even better. That's all we have. Thank you very much.
Do you know the age of that home that was there?
Over.
No idea. 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, probably? Probably 80 years old.
Okay, well, I was just curious.
Good guess.
In the architectural plan, I'm not seeing a plan for the garage. Is there an architectural plan for the garage?
The garage is in the house.
What?
It's in the house.
Underneath.
Oh, it's in the other plan, which I have here. I know there's one in this.
You just see the door on one of the elevations.
Okay.
Nothing else? Thank you very much.
I have a question about the design.
Yes.
I'm looking at the, the face, facing the boathouse. I guess that's, that Calvert? No, that's, that's...
Sir.
Yeah. Your plan doesn't show any window over trims at all on that face. I'm just...
Those are public entrance signs?
Yeah, they're all on the front, on the facade. That's a large, and personally, there's a lot to like about the particular exact use of this. I think it ticks all those boxes. But that facade, it looks like a modular.
Yeah, that, it is a modular, but that facade will be dressed up as the house is ordered with stuff above the windows.
Over trims and outside trims, just like the front shows?
Yes, it's, that's not on the plan yet because it's not ordered yet. That's stuff that the homeowner orders, the final order.
Okay.
And it will be on there.
Okay. Good to know.
Would those trims be on all the sides of the house? Just...
Yes, it will be trimmed on all sides of the house, not to the extent on Surrey. Surrey will obviously be the most because of its exposure. But I can't tell you exactly what's going to be on all sides, but...
The two frontages.
The two fronts, Surrey.
Surrey and Calvert will have over trims, window trims.
I think that's acceptable. There's virtually 3 foot between each home of lot size. It's very, you know, no one's going to be standing back and looking at those. But I think it's important that there's some aesthetics to this building because it will be on the curb, literally curb appeal.
Yep.
Yeah, on that note, I don't know if there's anything that can be done in terms of even a modulation, the ability to even provide projections or anything kind of...
I'd say just some the relief from the sheer volume?
Yes.
I don't know that that, in this model, is done because of it's, it matches up floor to floor, and it's just two stories, so I don't think that, you wouldn't see that in this particular model.
And I don't think these are reasons to discount the application, but it's a little bit off on what we see as a committee, that there are things like awnings that, you know, small awnings on those windows, something that creates a modulation, a shore house. We realize that it's a small lot and there's constrictions here, and it ticks all the boxes fundamentally, but I think that aesthetically, in keeping with the neighborhood, those kinds of...
Matt and Danielle right here, they're hearing you loud and clear. You've got their Mike Bustler, who is responsible for and helping them with the house, hears you loud and clear, and I think they'll be happy when you see the end product.
Yeah, with only that 4-foot front yard setback, you still have no modulation, so that is a pretty close setback to have that sheer wall, I would say, against the front yard.
Understood. And although you guys will do as much as practical to make that, an interesting front facade, understanding...
We're looking at architectural, Chris. We're looking at architectural accoutrements to give some character to the house.
You understand.
And there is not explained the detailed finish of the lift area, the ground level floor. What is the finish on that?
The finish on the foundation?
Yeah,
there's nothing shown on the foundation as far as what is, how it's constructed and how it's finished.
He's about to answer.
Siding comes halfway down the foundation, and then stucco finish below that.
No, stucco finish, is that stucco or parging? Stucco or cement parging?
It'll look like stucco.
Plumbing?
It'll look like stucco.
Is it a color or it's...
It'll have a color.
Okay. And, okay. So it's a block wall that's going in, a masonry wall. There's no detail on that.
I understand.
In the plan. So that should be a detail included in the plan.
Just hasn't been selected yet. That's the only thing I can tell you.
Pardon?
If you want to hear from Matt or Danielle as to their, that they hear you guys loud and clear, that they will.
You can express...
Danielle, you want to
Sit.
I just got a swearing in, Mr. Just give us your name and address.
Matt Byrne, 5400 Calvert Avenue.
All right, Mr. Byrne, do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give would be the truth?
Yes.
Thanks.
Matt, you heard for sentiment and concerns about the currently the way the house is on plans, it's flat, no necessarily appeal or anything defining the windows, the doors, etc.
Yeah, I mean, all intents and purposes, have trim, have it fully finished, bring the siding down halfway down the foundation, make it look real nice. I grew up here all my life. I know what the houses look like. That's the intent. We love our neighborhood, so we're going to make it as nice as possible.
Now, one of the questions I have, will it be black and white?
No.
What?
No.
Good.
It will not be black and white.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Wrong.
That'll be a condition of your approval.
Thanks. That's just the kind of conversation I was looking for, is that you're having some kind of, because the plans are a little lacking, doesn't show railings, that kind of stuff. We're just looking to make sure that you have, like you said, it fits the neighborhood. Appreciate that.
John, that was for you. Yeah.
So you're going to comply with the landscape requirements?
Yes.
The coverages, shrubs?
Yes.
Are you going to put trees in?
Trees?
Yeah.
You can fit three on there, it looks like.
There is severe flooding in that area, so that's what we need to take into account of, getting trees that are expensive and then those getting ruined every single year. I think we have two severe floods this year where it came up very high and just into the house. So we'll do whatever we have to make the landscaping look nice and beautiful, but don't know the exact type of trees yet or what type of landscape that will look like.
So you're happy the garage floor is going up?
Yes, very happy.
Can I ask you a question? The house directly across the street from you, is there any trees on that?
Directly across the street on Calvert Avenue, Mike Caselli, he has a single tree on the corner.
There's one, you're exactly right. I'm looking at it now.
He has one tree.
I remember him coming in and complaining about how much it floods. Yeah, it's on the property.
He loves his grass and he loves his landscaping and he is upset with the flooding all the time, yeah.
Would they have the choice to bring the street trees on-site?
Yes, yes.
Away from water?
Yes.
Would you choose to do that?
That's preferred, actually.
That's why I said.
Yeah. So we have two parking spaces, one in the driveway, one in the garage, as shown on the site plan. So there's three sets of steps, one inside, two outside?
One in the garage into the house?
Right.
Yes, and two outside.
Okay. And the non-conversion agreement for the ground floor is...
Non-conversion agreement, sure.
Right.
That's no surprise inspections.
There, while we were talking, there's one thing we've done with landscaping in that whole area. We advised the owners to elevate their landscaping beds by 2 feet and using masonry walls, not timbers, because they float away.
It's a recommendation.
And that way you bring your plantings above the salt water.
Does that mean they bring the foundation up? I mean, they bring the grade up too?
No, not the grade, just the planters.
Well, you're going to have to, if you're going to put your slab in at 5, you're going to have to raise it up a little bit.
Well, that's a grade, it's this, pertaining to the slab, not the whole lot.
I understand.
In that case. But where the planters are, and where the areas that go, you can save your shrubbery by elevating it with the masonry walls and a small foundation, rather than timber, because it floats away. And you don't use mulch, you can use mulch up there. Juniper is also a good ground cover. And there's varieties that work with salt water. And, yeah, and you can talk with Roger about selection of trees that are resistant to salt water. And you might even get some advice on your landscaping plan as well.
Okay.
We're here to help rather than hinder. That's all I have to say on that subject.
I'm done.
We like to aid our homeowners in making their dwellings to their liking and to be a good appearance within the community.
Would the board be okay if they put like a small retaining wall behind the sidewalk? We've allowed 12-inch, up the walls up to 12 inches and covered right away without getting any encroachment license. That way they can gradually slope the ground grade from 12 inches higher to garage floor versus middle.
Is that your recommendation?
I think it would help them in the long run.
Absolutely. It's a nice option.
Would support it.
Well, that area is definitely...
It's a good option. Yeah, I would ask that be included if the board thinks it's doable.
Jessica?
Without seeing, I guess, your existing grades, but where would you put the retaining wall? Is that going in the right of way, right on the edge there?
On Surrey, yeah.
Yeah.
The edge of sidewalk?
At the sidewalk.
Yeah.
You can see that.
On the...
You can't do it where the driveway's going to be. Probably around the back and the other side to keep the soil on the property.
You know, I think Surrey Avenue is an interesting street because if you start down at the corner where Edgewater turns into Surrey, you have an anomaly of undersized lots and, you know, it's crazy. It's like, so these, I'm building one right now at 16 feet wide on Surrey Avenue. And I think the fact that Matt wants to stay in Ventnor and develop that property and it's just, you know, it's right by the ball fields, he's probably got to have a young family coming along. I've known him since he was a baby. He's a good guy. I trust him. And I'm glad he's staying in Ventnor. So I think, you know, if we can take things like raising that wall and making it masonry instead of wood so it doesn't float away in the first storm, it creates a little relief. But it's using creativity and it's thinking outside the box is what I really like to see. And I think on the exterior, Matt, if you guys can doll it up with shutters or crown molding or, you know, whatever to make the house look a little more beachy, or look, you know, because you're in the, you know, you're looking right at the ball field, at the lagoon. So I'm just thrilled you're going to be able to pull it off. So
Key West look, John.
What's that?
Key West look.
Yeah, Key West. Yeah, I hate Key West.
So,
congratulations.
Well said, John. So I take it the board will support that idea. So, Mr. Bailenson?
Yes, sir.
Are you complete in your application?
I'm through, thank you very much.
Have you reviewed the...
I have reviewed Mr. McLaren's report and have no problem with any of them.
You are congruent, that is acceptable.
Yes, sir.
Okay. At this time, is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Yes, ma'am. Come over here.
To the center one, yes.
Jen, just give us your name and address, please.
Sure, I'm Jen Biederman, B-I-D-E-R-M-A-N. My address is 220 North Surrey. As I just said, I'm Jen Biederman.
You just gotta swear in.
Oh, sorry.
Swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thanks.
Good evening. First off, I want to say congratulations on building a new home, and I mean that sincerely. I'm sure it's very exciting, it's great for the neighborhood, and I wish you luck. While I have more experience than the average person reading drawings, my ability to read them is only slightly above average. My driveway is behind the subject property, so you can see it at the bottom of your drawing. It is right there, and you'll see on it, and I enter it from the Surrey Avenue side on the driveway. You'll see that there's an easement back there, and there's a curb cut out there for my car to get in and out the driveway. And the easement was granted to me by the prior owner of 5400 Calvert and is expressly for the purpose of fencing in the portion that is the back of the driveway, so that's to your left, and parking in the driveway, which is the portion on the right of the drawing. It was a two-car driveway. I took half of it and used half of it for a little patio area, and the other half is where I park.
Can you bring the mic closer to you?
I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't want to get too close to it because I didn't want
to... To your mouth, that's it.
Sure. I didn't want to get too close because I don't want to be too loud, but...
Loud is good.
Okay. I can be as loud as you want.
Loud is good.
Okay. So I can't totally tell from the drawings where the anticipated structures and vegetation are relative to the current driveway. To be fully transparent and clear, my interest is only in making sure that my fence on the back of the driveway and my usage of the driveway for parking are not disturbed. If some or all of the concrete behind 5400 Calvert up to the easement is going to be cut away and replaced with trees and grass, I don't necessarily object to that, provided that it doesn't impact the structural integrity of the remaining concrete, which is on my property, but it could require that when I use the driveway to get in and out of my car, that I will be going on grass. And the passenger side of my car, which would be on the grass area. And the passenger side of my car is obviously where people, and more importantly, my dog, get into the car. And possibly also getting the car in and out of the driveway without going on grass. So for the record, I don't let my dog on the grass that's there now, but the concrete extends far enough that I'm able to avoid it. And it looks like there are going to be trees planted back there, which again, I don't necessarily have a problem with, but could impede with ingress and egress of my car and the driveway. So I'd ask that they be planted at a distance that would not interfere with my usage. I wouldn't think they would be planted right up against concrete, but again, I can't tell where they're going to be relative to the driveway as it exists right now, because there's concrete that extends from where the easement ends to the back of the property. I'm sorry?
Can I interrupt, please?
Sure.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we have Mr. Days show, there's an easement marked on the plan.
Yes, it's at the bottom of the page.
In there. Show that where that is, and we'll have the question asked the applicant right now, and have them respond.
That's
and
fine.
That way we get...
We're not going to put anything in the resolution about the easement, right? That's not...
Pardon?
We're not going to put anything in the resolution about the easement.
Well, the only thing that I'll say about the easement...
I don't know what is going exactly, what's happening. Yes. So,
well, I'm sorry, but the one thing that I will, I don't mean to interrupt you, the one thing I will say is that they've represented that the setbacks are now for the deck 6 feet, which would be compliant, and 12 feet for the structure, but that doesn't take into account, at least from my reading of the drawings, it doesn't take into account the easement space. So, in effect, the back of the rear deck would be about 3.5, give or take, feet from where the easement ends.
So all measurements are taken from the property line, not the easement line?
Yes, correct. That's what it looks like to me.
And so since it's not a public easement, we're not really going to have a discussion about.
But it is a private easement, and it's in my deed that I have the right for parking. And I'm happy to take this offline and discuss this with Mr. Balanton and walk it with him. In fact, that's what I was going to suggest. But I would suggest that that happen before a variance is granted as required under the municipal land use law.
What was your address again? I'm sorry.
I'm 220 North Surrey. So it's behind their house.
So right now, it's shown as, I guess, pervious, right? It's not shown, the easement's shown.
The easement is concrete.
No, that's shown as plain, I'm guessing. You base this on being impervious.
That's what they, the calculations show that as being.
Yeah, so are you asking for that to be concrete?
No, I'm saying that the setbacks as measured are measured from the easement, like not where my easement actually ends, but measured.
The property line, easement's incorporated in the property, setback to the property.
Okay, but I mean, you know.
The area is still owned by them.
Yeah, and, right, but it's for my use, which is set out in my deed. And look, I really don't want to have a public argument about it. I, you know, when I got notice of this, I saw the plans, I did reach out to Mr. Balanton, and I really would like the opportunity just to meet with him, to walk through this, to make sure that we're good, and that my usage of the driveway, which I have a right to use for its intended purpose as a driveway, is not impacted.
For purposes.
I emailed you 2 weeks ago.
Wait a minute, pardon me. Real simple. I have a couple questions here.
Sure.
Is the, of Roger and I don't know. Is the easement, it's an easement, it's a private easement. Now, you have use of that easement for your part, as part of your driveway.
Yes.
And you mentioned that you need to be, have it paved, so you step out of the car and don't step on grass. But you step on something hard.
I don't mind stepping on grass at all. I just need understanding that getting in and out of my car will require being on grass. And I'm sensitive to people being upset that, you know, you're on the grass.
There's nothing in writing. That was my end. There's nothing in writing that says what the easement is for.
I have my deed right here.
Says there is an easement. I haven't seen the language. And it's for parking, that's fine. But the board can't control the surface of it. Whether it's grass or concrete, even as a private matter between the two properties.
That is correct.
I have my recorded deed where it's in my deed. Yeah.
So your fence, ma'am, is that at the back of the sidewalk?
I'm sorry?
Your fence is at the back of the sidewalk?
It's not up at on the driveway. It is back.
Along the public sidewalk next to your easement or your driveway, that's behind, just behind the sidewalk, your fence? White picket fence?
Yeah, there's a white picket fence in front of my house, and it goes around my house down the driveway.
How'd you get a permit for that in the right of way?
I have had an application pending with the building department for 3 years. It's been on file. I've had an application for use of a right of way.
I think it's been denied.
It has not been denied that I know of.
Okay, well, I'll make sure tomorrow it is.
I'm sorry?
Deed's not recorded.
I don't know how my deed's not recorded. It says it right there. Recorded.
You said recorded and returned.
Yeah, recorded and returned.
Recorded and returned.
Yeah, it's recorded. My deed's on file with Atlantic County.
Recorded and returned.
Okay.
Well, look, there's arguably an easement or something.
There is an easement, for sure.
For our purposes, from the board's perspective, you know, we're not going to get into a judicial battle over easement rights and stuff like that.
100% not my intent, and I'm sorry that people are offended by my coming here to make sure that I can get in and out of my driveway, and that's all I was asking.
Right. So, and they're aware of it now, and obviously it's something
no structures
that should
be in that easement.
I'm sorry.
No structures will be in that easement on their property.
I couldn't hear you.
No structures will be installed on.
No, I understand that. And that's not what I was talking about. I was just coming here to get understanding of, you know, where the grass and the vegetation is going to be and making sure that nobody's going to get upset if, you know, I step out of, or a passenger steps out of my car onto their grass. I mean, that's all I'm asking for.
You unload groceries, whatever, you're gonna get out of the car.
I'm not asking for any, I'm not asking to change their plans even the slightest. Like, that's not what I'm here for. I'm sorry?
There's no issue.
Right. I just wanted to walk the property with Mr. Balancing and just make sure we're good. That's all.
Strange things have happened. Houses get built on houses that on land that's not theirs. So I appreciate your diligence.
You know, and that's all I'm asking for. I didn't expect this to devolve into an issue about a fence that's been around my house for 8 years. And, you know, that's absolutely 100% not my intent. We have had a very contentious history, and I came here with the intent of not engaging in any of that and just trying to get the best possible outcome for everyone so that this can be brought to
an end. At this time, ma'am, the board's activity in this matter is now concluded. And the parties have been addressed each other. You'll work that out. We're not taking any action to that would change anything regarding this whole thing. And that's it.
I would say any approval the board grants is still subject to any private easement rights between the parties. So we're not
obviating anybody's rights.
That's all I wanted to know. That's all I wanted to make sure of.
Then this matter, thank you for coming before us and sharing with everybody. We appreciate it greatly.
Thank you, and I would appreciate, sir, if we could talk about my fence offline at some point, because I just don't think that was...
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to comment before the board? The public portion of this application is now closed. Mr. Balancing. You can clear it? Okay. At this time, does the board members have any questions of the applicant or our professionals?
Close the comment?
Nope.
Yes. Roger, do you have any comments on this application?
No, I think they addressed all the comments I had.
At that point, Leo, then the resolution and the...
All right.
Affirmative is all or none.
Okay, so C variance application, I'll summarize the variances. The lot area is in existing condition, non-conforming. They have 1,875 square feet, 2,000 is the requirement. Their lot width is at 30 feet, where 32 feet is the requirement. Again, those are conditions, existing conditions. The main variances are there's the front yard setback along Surrey Avenue, where they are proposing 4 feet, where 12 feet is the requirement. Also along Surrey Avenue, the porch is at 4 feet, where 7 feet is the requirement. And then the front yard setback to the steps along Calvert is 1 foot setback. Is that right, Roger?
Yes.
Where 7 feet is required. Same thing along Surrey, which is another, but the steps are at 4 feet, where 7 feet is required. The applicant indicated that the garage setback will be compliant, so that's no longer a variance. And the terms and conditions, and we'll go over those. In terms of the elevations, there was some discussion on that, Mr. Barnhart, with the garage and the first floor. The applicant will implement those elevations.
Yeah, they agreed to put the first floor at elevation 14.
First floor at 14, garage at 5.
Was it the height of the building? There's still less than what's allowed in it.
Correct. All right, first floor elevation will be 14. Incorporate, Roger, do you have to review any trims or anything like that, or we'll just, they heard the comments and they're gonna...
I think they're kind of left it, they're gonna do what they can, but the fronts have to be... It's got to be a little bit different.
Applicant will do what they can to dress up the two fronts.
They have to put trim details on to enhance the front of the front of Surrey and Calvert Avenues.
Right.
And they also have to supply the construction details for the walls.
Mr. Chairman, drawing trim details on permit plans.
Yeah, on those things, but they're not the but they're missing here on the plan right now.
If you put that on permit plans, it's...
Yes, that'd be fine. And they need a landscaping plan too.
In terms of the landscaping, they indicated that they would comply, but the board will allow them to put the trees...
I think that's on Josh's plan. I'm not saying...
As amended, as discussed.
As discussed.
The trees can go on the actual property.
Trees go high.
And then the non-conversion agreement, you'll supply, which is required anyway. And then, are we going to say anything about this retaining wall on the inside of the sidewalk? Is that a requirement or a recommendation?
It's a requirement. Okay, it's an option then?
Yeah, I don't think we can mandate that, but it's in the right way, so we can't make them.
Okay.
Very good, right?
It's a good recommendation.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Okay, so that's a recommendation. Okay. And you want to...
Well, you can make it a condition.
Yeah.
I think it should be made a condition.
How does that work? Do they have to get approval from commissioners or...
No, because it's 12 inches or less.
Because it's low. Below 18 inches, I don't think.
I don't know. I mean, we're kind of just redesigning this on the fly. I don't know. I feel like it's a...
You can make it a condition.
All right. They'll benefit in the end.
I disagree.
Now, Roger, could you give a description of what he should put in the resolution?
Just a decorative retaining wall up to 12 inches in height in the public right-of-way behind the sidewalk, so they can gradually slope the grade up to where they need it to match.
Option is up to 12 inches?
The wall.
Right. And masonry construction.
Retaining wall.
Right.
With finish.
Decorative.
We want it finished.
Right, we don't want exposed down the wall.
Stack table, maybe stones, doesn't have to be an integrated border.
You can make it center block with the clad.
It's just a budgetary thing, that's all.
It has to have a foundation. It has to have a footing. And how, where is it going to go? On all four sides?
John will have to create a grading plan now, so he'll show the limits of that. So it won't be in the easement.
Now, will that be on all four sides or just two sides?
If there is a grade, we'll have to put it around. It can't be on the easement side.
So that'll be on all four sides?
No, at least three.
At least three.
Real quick, a comment about that it had to have a footing. The retaining wall, both 4 feet in height, is not required to have a footing. We had to use a stack block wall.
That's fine.
Okay, you're the designer.
I'm pretty sure we didn't get stuck with it.
We're not designing the wall.
Concrete footing. Please don't put any resolution on not being in the easement area, because that is open for discussion.
We're not putting any wall in here?
No reference to easement and retaining wall in easement area. That shouldn't be.
Okay.
Correct, I agree.
Around three sides.
That's all.
And then the other conditions will be anything else in Mr. McLaren's report unless otherwise addressed. Any representations made on behalf of the applicants during the course of the hearing will be followed, subject to any outside approvals and permits you need, just the standard ones there. So, C variance application.
Just finish up on the wall. It's mandatory on Surrey. Is it mandatory on the other three sides? If the grading plan doesn't necessitate?
Well, you can't put it where the driveway is going to be.
Of course, that's on...
But you might want to box out the driveway. Again, I think your grading plan will determine where you need that wall.
That's what I'm saying. If you say it's mandatory on all four sides, that may not be
right. If it's not practical on the rear and the side...
As dictated by the grading plan.
And certainly, sorry, it's just not practical.
Correct.
Grade is dictated by the grading plan.
So noted.
And that's it.
We'll need a motion in a second.
Does everyone understand that? Or do you want to recite it? Okay. We may have a motion and a second to adopt it.
Motion.
Second.
Okay, have a roll call vote. State your reasons.
Mayor Kribel.
I think the headline here, despite some of the confusion, and the confusion I think comes from the lack of clarity in the drawings. It's really a shop drawing to build a modular home. It's not an architecturally vetted drawing, and that's where a lot of these confusions come from, because it's really not, it really doesn't fully cook what a resident, what the residential homes that we're used to seeing here. So I will give you that piece of criticism, but I think all the intentions that I've heard are positive. I hope that they can work out some of the concerns with the setback and the access to it. But I do think the headline here is that a duplex is becoming a single-family home. The setbacks themselves, regardless of the other details we discussed, I think are de minimis and are part of island living. I think it ticks all the boxes from a literal sense. I just would hope that none of the things that are missing in the iteration of the shop drawing for the modular come back and bite you in the execution of a building that you're hoping to build. So I think that proper drawings answer more questions than they pose, and this one poses questions rather than answers them. But with that, I support the application.
Joe Ionizelli?
I also like this. You're placing a duplex in a single family home. I like you're going to be living there all year round. You need more kids in our schools, which is great. Be fruitful, multiply. I think it's a nice, would be a nice addition to the neighborhood. I know it real well. I also agree.
Jay Cook?
I'll vote in favor of the application. It is, resolves or demonstrates the problems of small lots in a flood prone zone. And the actions to deal with it, there are some unique things that are being tried here, which I think will improve the situation greatly. And with that, of course, there are variances that are being asked that are somewhat significant, but you get to a point where the size of the home becomes too small. This is not a large home, but at the same time, you diminish the width of a home, you diminish the utility of a home. So it's up to the city or up to provide housing that's desirable, it's marketable, that citizens can use and can live in a comfortable life. And with that, that provides, and they provide aesthetics with that in landscaping and in architectural design. This applicant is willing to do that. And all those things go to building a better visual community, which is what the master plan is about. There are some things in this modern day which you just have to adjust to as attitudes change and needs change to become more relevant. And this is part of the community adapting to the world. And we have to maintain quality, but also maintain quality of life. With that, I vote yes.
Lorraine Salata?
I like the fact that they're doing an update to an older property. And I do agree with many of the points that the mayor made. Excuse me. But I don't really see any real downside to it, so I would vote in favor of it. And then I also want to mention that I think it was important that the neighbor stepped up and stated her problem, and I hope we can work that out amicably. And because it obviously is impacting her. So I do vote in favor of it.
Dan Smith III.
I'm going to vote in favor of the plan. I know there was a lot of discussion of how much everybody understood, but I think that the inspections and the building inspections and things will take care of that. It said about the modular not being a building plan, which is true. So those things are important to get straight before you start the construction and follow what the city's looking for. And follow their lead, ask questions. I applaud the neighbor for coming out and getting that straightened out, but taking a duplex to a single family is a beautiful thing, and I think the location and such, and imagine this wife will use the creativity to make that property shine. So I'm on the page.
Mike Reason?
I want to thank the neighbor for coming out. She presented herself extremely professional. I think it didn't even have to get to that point. A nice conversation, I think, would have just resolved the whole thing. But thank you for coming out. And it's a lot easier to talk to a neighbor than to go through someone else. That someone goes back and back to you. You know, glass of wine may strike everything. Take a duplex, make it a single family, no brainer. Somebody that's lived here his whole life, no brainer. I'm in favor.
Tim Coop?
I also vote in favor. I think it's a challenging lot. It's undersized. It's got two front yards. It really limits what you can do. I certainly also appreciate neighbors coming out and speaking. But I think this could be a good project for all.
Jessica Stilley?
I guess with this one, I first looked at it, didn't really care for just that 4-foot front yard setback, especially being that sheer wall with no modulation. But when I go back and I look at the fact that it is a narrow lot, so there's certainly a hardship there, and then I look at really the positives of it, that you are dropping down from 2 units down to 1. Also, I think really is key is getting that garage floor up to that elevation 5, and putting in that retaining wall. I really think that we're actually probably going to see a lot more of these retaining walls, I think, moving forward. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. I just think anything you can do to add to that facade on Surrey, even just to break up that wall, even if it's any sort of projection or storm shade or shutter, just to kind of break that long expansive wall up, I think would be appreciated. So I'm going to vote in favor.
John Van Dyne?
I think it's a good application for all the reasons that have been stated already. You know, conversion back to single family is always a great thing. It's good that Matt here is, you know, lifelong resident. I do think that one thing that might be critically important to the whole plan, though, would be if you're going to have a grading plan, it's going to help you so far down the line because, for example, do you want to have grass in your yard? Do you want to have crushed stone in your yard? You know, what do you want to have? But you have to know these grades and all to set these foundation points. And it, you know, it relates your stairs, your steps going into the building. So don't undershoot that. Take some time and carefully plan that out. Shoot all 4 corners of the lot so you know where the high point and the low point are. And you'll wind up with a lot much more, you know, usable yard and, you know, place for the kids to play and all that. But I think we're going to be seeing a lot of these walls. I mean, I'm doing it now. I have to raise on both sides of the property, I have to put a wall on each side. So, good luck. Glad to have you, and congratulations.
Okay. Surprised, the motion carried.
Thank you very
much. You have a unanimous vote. Thank you for appearing. The applicant, congratulations to you. Good luck on your project, and thank you for appearing. Okay, the applications are regarding 213 North Surrey Avenue and 212 North Surrey Avenue. I must recuse myself because I live within 200 feet.
The next application is 203, right?
We're doing Ventnor Avenue, okay. Well, it's 63. Next application is that of 6203 Ventnor Avenue.
Jay, I'm going to recuse myself. I live within the zone.
Let the record reflect that Mayor Preble is recusing himself, physically removing himself from the board.
What's going on with you?
You can preamble. Mr. Goldstein, no preamble. If you just give a summary of your case ahead of time and then swear your people in first and then go right into it. Of course, Mr. Chairman, and thank you. Pleasure to be here to see everybody after the couple meetings got canceled for the snow, so we're happy to be back in business tonight as well. Eric Goldstein on behalf of the applicant, Mr. Farhad Bhagapur, with me this evening. Mr. Bhagapur is behind me. He is likely not going to testify, but he's available if you have any questions. To my right, Daniel Scott Massio, an architect, is going to be testifying for the application, which Roger's report kind of sums it up in one sentence. I'll read his sentence, which is, the applicant requests relief from the Ventnor City Planning Board to construct a covered porch. So we're here tonight strictly for a covered porch, which needs variance because it's 1 foot from the property line where 7 feet is required. I'll swear Mr. Massio in and get started, if that's okay, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. Mr. Massio, just give us your name and business address for the record, please.
My name is Daniel Scott Massio, and my address is 1399 New Road, New Jersey, on the registered architect and city.
Okay, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
And Mr. Mashian has been here several times.
Yes, like his credentials are acceptable for the court. So Dan, you've been sworn.
Anybody else?
No, that's all.
Okay.
Yeah. We know you have a long night. Mr. Massion, we've reviewed Roger's report. I don't want to put too little emphasis on the importance of this for our client, but Mr.
Could you put the mic a little closer to your not so you speak to anybody here?
There you go. Good.
Yeah.
Getting back to what I was saying, Mr. Massion, the report that Roger prepared, we agree with the variance chart he put together. We're seeking one variance only, and I'm going to have you walk through what we're seeking tonight, and then we're going to ask the board if they have any further questions, but it's fairly simple and very subtle for Mr. Bhagapur's residents, so take it away, Dan, please.
Project is to create an open porch on the front of the building. The site is located on Ventnor Avenue between Cambridge and Sacramento. What we're doing is we're extending the front of this existing building out to create some open space, covered open space. The particular lot that it's on doesn't have a lot of exterior space, as with many properties. So we're trying to create a space that can be usable. It does match the above referred to my drawing. Z1 at the bottom of the setbacks on the adjacent properties, and you can see that as you travel down that drive on the same side, many of the properties they come in and out. So we're just trying to bring this out, this covered, open covered porch out to create that usable space. And I think it's the dimensions are a function of the circulation stairway up into the building to be able to get to that front porch and then have a usable space on that front porch. So that's how we derive dimensions. I think the variance is positive because of the type of lot that it's on. While it was commented in the report about being a hardship, it is an irregular shaped lot, though it is an undersized lot.
But we still feel, just for the record and for the municipal land use law, we still feel that regardless of the shape of the lot,
yes,
hardship or not, this still satisfies potentially the C1 criteria, but definitely the C2 criteria.
And
fairly important, you put together a good exhibit showing that this porch, if permitted, would be in line with the other porches, and it would follow what we would call the neighborhood development pattern of the street here. Ventnor Avenue is a fairly busy street, and Mr. Bhagapur just wants to be able to enjoy his property a little more on Ventnor Avenue in line with what else is built there, correct?
It's very consistent with the surrounding construction.
Well, the property itself doesn't require any expansion of living space, correct?
Correct.
So with regard to base flood elevations and substantial improvement rule, we are not going to have any habitable space in the area where this porch is constructed, correct?
Correct.
in your professional opinion, do you think that this design meets the City of Ventnor Zone Code and the State of New Jersey Municipal Land Use Act's intent that the property, if we're going to get a variance, has a betterment as opposed to a negative to the property owners around it, as well as the City of Ventnor?
I do. I believe the scale of this provider, the small addition, will add a tremendous amount to the aesthetics of the building. And I think this is keeping with the rest of the blocks. So I think there's no negative criteria if we're going to be positive.
Mr. Chairman, Roger Leo, we think that, you know, we don't want to belabor the point, and I don't want to make it into something smaller than it needs to be. It supports, there's no habitable space being added. We do need variances. It's in line with the other homes on the block. We would basically rest unless you had more questions, but this is one that, when it first came in, if not for the need to get a variance, I suspect this would be noticed if it was built and just appeared one day. It's so small, but certainly answer whatever questions the board may have.
So Dan, the below the deck is pretty much open.
It is. Well, it will be covered. It will be enclosed. You won't be able to see through it.
But you're not putting compacted fill in there?
No, it'll be an open deck. It will be a composite lumber on the top. But the piers, so I have piers with panels in between, because that is the style of the architecture.
Sure.
So that's why we're trying to create that. If you're referring to drawing 7 on V1, you can see we're trying to create some aesthetic, you know, in keeping with the age of the home. Not modernizing too much. We're trying to keep that whole line of on Ventnor Avenue.
But it allows ventilation and
ventilation, yes.
Water drainage.
Yeah, it's not solid.
Okay, good.
Now, is the deck a fiberglass deck or is it a plank deck?
It's going to be like a plank deck, composite lumber.
Okay.
There's a side entry now. It's going to match the side of the existing.
Now, from your drawings, this home appears to be set back, even with a lot 3, I think it is, and other homes are set forward more.
Yeah, it's kind of a mix there. There's some larger buildings, taller too. I believe they're multifamily. As you can see, they're right on the property line. In our geometry, as we were trying to figure this out, we didn't want to go all the way to the property line. Clearly, we did set it back. There is space beyond the property line to the sidewalk, which is some landscaping space or some green space in front. Looks, we can't control where that property line is. So that will, plan to be
That poses an issue that the landscaping, shouldn't that be on the property itself, not the right of way?
The landscaping that counts towards landscaping is only on the property.
Right. So your that's an issue that has to be discussed. That you have room for the landscaping to qualify.
We have about foot. Currently, there's some was utilized as flower plots along the front of the property. I think that was the intent to integrate that into the front landscaping.
Flower plots count. They don't count. Flower plots don't count.
Well, we would green that space, that space. Again, the percentage, we can't provide a landscape plan. But we do have to the property line, we are going for
that. That becomes an issue of compliance, having enough room to do that.
And there's many buildings on that sheet that are at a lot on that zero. So we're trying to balance that.
Well, I think the landscaping in that area is appropriate. You get credit for what's on the property. And I think you still probably might meet the front yard landscape requirements by, you know, that big side yard that's in the front yard setback. And the front yard setback is 12 feet, so.
You know, unfortunately, as you can see from Dan's exhibit, from the house, as we're headed south, all the properties come out to the property line, and there's zero landscaping. So this would be more than what's around it. It's just difficult to meet where it is because you've got the right-of-way, you've got sidewalk, and you've got Ventnor Avenue, which is not the easiest place to landscape.
As you were saying, we have the sidewalk, front yard, which is open. So we would just be able to landscape that.
But having screening that in front of it, even though most of it's in the right-of-way, I think that's appropriate.
Right, and I think that would, it really does set up the way the porch is set up on your potential point with the panels, lighting, not the color, but it will stand off. I think that would make a very nice scale proportion to the building. I think that's what it would look like with piers and panels in between.
I have faith in you, Dan, that you'll pick out the right species.
We're going to try to do the best we can, though. I appreciate that.
Is the garage usable? Is the garage usable?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It's all the way back.
Because how many bedrooms is this property?
Five.
Five bedrooms. Okay. Well, that would be, you have plenty of parking.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have plenty.
Way back there.
And the question is, I mean, you can show more if you wanted to, but you meet the requirement for what's here.